All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, to open up the show, Samter made a point, and I'm like, you're a little spoiled these days. Because he was complaining that yesterday we didn't have a 16, a 15, a 14, or even a 13 win. You know, the highest seed we had win was a 12 seed. And right now, you have another 12 seed who's in good business, you know, good shape. They are up 68-60, Colorado State up against Memphis. I actually picked Colorado State on my bracket. I know nobody cares about my bracket. You have Duke just beating the snot out of Mount St. Mary's, 54-28. I'll give you the Cooper Flagg update. He did start this game. He had a big dunk early, stuck out his tongue. He's 4-7 from the field, 9 points. You could wipe the sweat off the forehead if you're a fan of Duke, I guess. Vanderbilt, St. Mary's, about 10 minutes in, 16-13. Vanderbilt is up on St. Mary's. And then coming up later today, you have 11-6, North Carolina Ole Miss, 13-4, Grand Canyon up against Maryland. Norfolk State, 16 up against 1, Florida. 14, Troy up against 3, Kentucky. 10, New Mexico up against 7, Marquette. 13, Akron, 4, Arizona. 9, Oklahoma, 8, UConn. 11, Xavier, 6, Illinois. 15, Bryant, Michigan State, 2. 12, Liberty, 5, Oregon. So that's the schedule for the rest of the day. And earlier today, we saw Alabama beat Robert Morris. It was a good game, 98-81. Iowa State blew out Lipscomb, 314, 82-55. And Baylor, Mississippi State was a razor-thin margin of a game. Baylor was able to hold on and win 75-72. If you're looking for moments so far, though, you know, McNeese getting the victory up against Clemson, a moment. Drake getting the victory yesterday up against Missouri, a moment. But there has not been this, like, thunderous moment yet in the NCAA tournament. You know, so far this NCAA tournament can be described in probably, like, these few moments. Creighton doing a very good job up against Louisville. You had McNeese with their manager, right? First program victory, nice job. Clemson was terrible. You know, the Michigan game was, you know, close last night, but it was sloppy at the end. It was kind of reminding me a lot like Michigan and Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship. So you're looking at this tournament so far. You know, Arkansas-Kansas was an enjoyable game, but there hasn't really been a marquee signature, you know, wow moment of this NCAA tournament. And this is how, and hey, something crazy could happen. But to Samter's point, he's right. The biggest upset so far is 12 being in a 5. You know, that's the biggest upset. And I had these percentages yesterday, and a 12 being in the 5 is not like the craziest thing in the world anymore because of how spoiled we've gotten. But 5 versus 12s in 2018, it's a 66.7%. You know, 5s versus 12s are 16-18. That 6-11 is where we see a lot of upsets. They're 512-12 since 2018. But you look at, even though we see a good amount of those upsets, 1s versus 16 since 2018, 22-2. 2 versus 15 is 21-3. 3 versus 14, 22-2. 4 versus 13, all right, that gets a little bit closer, 17-7. So here's what I think is going to happen with this tournament. And trust me, I could put my foot in my mouth in about an hour or two with this tournament when you talk about it. Because a feeling how you feel, you know, right now at 4 p.m. Eastern time, and this is what makes March so awesome, with how unpredictable it is you could get something crazy that can transpire. And Colorado State right now is 229 away from getting a victory up against Memphis. Colorado State 71, Memphis 61. But Mike, even though you opened up the show saying you were disappointed that, hey, through one day of the tournament, it's only one day, you haven't seen a 13, a 14, a 15, or, you know, I don't think anyone actually expects a 16 seed to win, even though we've seen it with UMBC, and you also got to see it with Fairleigh Dickinson. But that's just such a rarity. It's wild that we had two in recent memory. But I think if we even get a slow start to this tournament, where even if this continues, where after today there's not this wow moment, like I'm moved by what I've seen, it's unbelievable, I think the more marquee teams that are left makes the games better as the tournament does go on. And I don't know if that's going to get reflected in the round of 32 necessarily. But when it comes to the round of Sweet 16, that's when this tournament could really take off. Because college basketball this year, it's been dominated by the SEC. It's been dominated by Duke as well. But just looking at who's been the best team in the country, you know, we started the year with Kansas being the preseason number one. They're out in the first rounds of the tournament. They were a 7 seed, no expectation. The SEC had 14 teams entering this tournament. You know, a month and a half ago, people be saying Auburn's the best team in the SEC. Then now people are saying Florida because they just won the SEC tournament. So I don't know how many great teams there are in this tournament. I would say Duke, to me, has the feel of the best team. The question becomes their health. Florida is playing like the best team right now. Auburn, I know they win yesterday, 16-1. We're not going to get delirious. But Auburn, the last week and a half, their stock was starting to fade. Can they get back in it? Absolutely. But I think this year, if you're going to say, you know, I have Duke in Florida, but if that ends up being the championship game, I think it's a fascinating matchup. So even though this tournament feels like there's no buzz right now, it feels like it's a slow start. And it's only one day and like a half a day, so let's not get crazy. It could, you know, we got a few buzzer beaters here. All right, it really starts popping with the NCAA tournament. But I think in the long run, where how there's been just a lot of good teams in college basketball this year, I don't know how many great teams, I think it could make for a lot of compelling Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, and a championship game, where if you then give me those 2 weeks of just great game after great game, I'm okay with that if we don't get one of those historical, you know, upsets in the first or even the second round of the NCAA tournament. Because, like, we all remember Florida Gulf Coast. We all remember George Mason. You remember Loyola Chicago, right? The two 16s that have won, the 15 seeds that have won. And some of those teams have gone on to the Sweet 16, if not even further than that, right? Like, we're talking Final Four. But eventually there's an expiration date on those teams in this tournament. So the better seeds that remain, even though it doesn't elicit like, oh my God, ooh, onions, like unbelievable Cinderella story, I think this year that fits more into college basketball, where as the tournament goes on, the marquee teams will still be there and there will be a collision course, and I think it will make it a more fun tournament. And even though I always love upsets, and like when you get the upsets, they're awesome, I'm okay with the first weekend being all right, average, fine, mediocre, if a lot of these bigger programs are still around, especially in a year where it does feel open, where even when you say Duke and Florida right now, maybe the two best teams, you know, we just did a draft for the NCAA tournament. Duke and Florida, Duke was the first selection, but Florida wasn't the second selection. So I think that this is an open tournament this year, and as many 1, 2, 3, 4, and let's say 5 seeds are left, will make it better as the tournament does go on.
I mean, to your point, sure, but I think more like in the Elite Eight, Final Four, and the finals. For me, like the first 2 or 3 rounds, the first round and second round for sure, upsets are so crucial, right? Having the, Sister Jean, you know, having the, you know, the FGCU, like it's exciting. It's
Dunk
fun.
City.
And like it's the same thing with the manager at McNeese State. There's a storyline, right? Like people aren't following the best player on Maryland or Vanderbilt. They're going to find like who's something really cool on number 13 Grand Canyon, right? If they upset Maryland, there's going to be some crazy story that develops out of there. Same thing with McNeese. That's what's interesting the first couple rounds. That's what drives most people's attention because, like you said, we haven't been following all of these teams throughout the entire season. So I can't tell you who the best player is on Ole Miss or who the star is on Vanderbilt, but I can tell you that the manager of McNeese State is freaking awesome, and he's cool and he's fun. That's going to get my interest until we get to those Cooper flags, you know, until we get to see Baylor and dominate and Rick Pitino. And do, that's when it's going to become a little bit more interesting.
But even look at, and I'm not saying that, you know, all the matchups are great, but with no major upsets yesterday. And, right, that's only half the field playing yesterday and the other half plays today. Just for the round of 32, Arkansas-St. John's has a lot of buzz to it with Calipari and Patino. Creighton-Auburn, I think, has a lot of buzz. And I think that's the most intriguing second-round game so far. And I know I'm only going to give you one more, and it's you're going to say, oh, it's only three matchups, which I get. But Gonzaga with their brand and them getting through, going up against Houston in a 1-8, that's a really fun second-round matchup. No, so, yes, I'm with you. Yesterday, would I have loved to have seen a 15-seed win? Yes. Would have loved it. Would I love to have seen a 14-seed win? Yes. But I think the more good to very good to great teams we have, it's going to then make from the Sweet 16 and on awesome if this continues the road. And it really is determined in yesterday and today, because if you don't get out of the first round, hot take of the day, your season's over. And, you know, even tomorrow, like you look at these matchups, you know, if a 12 beats a 4, 10 beats a 7, 5 beats a 4, 11 beats a 3, 9 beats a 1, 6 beats a 3, 8 beats a 1, 7 beats a 2, like I'm just saying, not all those teams are going to win. But even in for second round standards, there's not even a major massive upset potentially brewing there. Where if like Purdue goes down, does it make the NCAA tournament stink? No. And that's your 12 seed, for example. But through what happened yesterday with there was nothing explosive, there's still a lot of possibilities for a lot of good teams still to be remaining, even if you do have some upsets along the way tomorrow. And that's the point. If this trend does continue where you don't have what we've had in previous years with 16, 15, 14s, 13s winning, and this the highest seed that wins or the lowest seed that wins, however you want to say it. Is it highest or lowest when you get to a 12 seed?
It's technically the lower seed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the lowest seed that wins is a 12. I don't think that derails the tournament from what I'm saying is that the games will get significantly better from the Sweet 16 and all.
I mean, you might be right, but like, number 5 Michigan versus number 4 A&M. I'm sure that's going to be a good game. I have no interest. Number 6 BYU versus number 3 Wisconsin. No interest.
I like that game a lot.
I'm sure it's going to be fine. You know what game I'm interested in? McNeese versus Purdue. Because like McNeese is kind of the darling, right? UCLA, Tennessee, that's a 7 versus a 2. Meh.
Not sexy.
Yeah. The Arkansas-St. John's thing, first of all, Arkansas was an upset, so that you have a 10 versus 2, but that's more about the coaches than anything else.
Yeah, but 7-10, not a major upset.
Right, that's my point, right? So the ones you brought up were a 10 over a 7 upset, Gonzaga as an 8 seed versus number 1 Houston, and Creighton a 9 seed against number 1 Auburn. Those aren't like, you know, those were pretty much set in stone for the most part. You have Auburn versus the 8-9, Houston versus the 8-9. I'm talking about like when you get like a 13 versus a 12 in the second round, or you get an 11 versus a 14 in the second round. Those are the stories you want to follow early on, and then you want the best teams to take over in the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the title game. That's my opinion.
Colorado State, by the way, here's a 12 seed. It is a final now. They have defeated Memphis in Seattle. They're playing this game. So Colorado State pulls off the upset 78-70 over the Memphis Tigers. So we know what Samter's going to be rooting for today. Samter is rooting for Grand Canyon over Maryland. Samter is rooting for Troy over Kentucky. Samter is rooting for Akron over Arizona. Aren't you an Arizona? No, you're a Sun Devils fan, right?
I'm rooting for everybody against Arizona. Let's go Akron. Akron. I have my Akron jersey on underneath here.
You are rooting for Bryant over Michigan State, Liberty over Oregon. That's what Samter is looking for today. But, yeah, so far it's been, and it's early, so I don't want to sound like I'm spoiled. Now I'm being spoiled, Zach, and I started the show saying Samter spoiled. It's been a little bit of a snooze fest of an NCAA tournament. There's not been a lot of big moments. To Samter's point, the Cinderella stories, the buzzer beaters, and that's what we love March. But if we don't get that in terms of the big upsets, and there's been some upsets, but not big upsets. You know, if we don't get that through the first round of the NCAA tournament, I think then next week, these Sweet 16 games, they could really pop off and be taken to a different level.
And so far, I mean, this is, you know, whatever. North Carolina didn't belong. they're getting smoke showed right now by Ole Miss.
It's 11-2. And what do you mean smoke showed?
Well, it was 14
smoke show is like a smoking hot girl.
14-4. They were getting smoked early on, UNC.
Samter called McNeese.
They didn't belong
McNeese
in
State.
This tournament.
And then he goes, Ole Miss is getting UNC's getting smoke showed by Ole Miss, and it's 11-2.
Yeah, well, you know what? UNC just hit back-to-back three-pointers. It's 14-10 now. But it was 14-4
now
when
you're
I opened
getting
my mic.
Smoke-showed.
I opened my mic at 14-4.
We may have to put you, like, you know, in the NBA, they do load management. Maybe we'll put you on a syllable count because that was something I've never heard on the radio in the way that you used it. So you have Duke up against Mount St. Mary's at halftime, 54-28. Vanderbilt is smoke showing St. Mary's right now, 27-18. Ole Miss, North Carolina, the Samter mush right here. UNC was just getting smoke showed, and now it's a 4-point game. And still to tip off, we have Grand Canyon, Maryland, Norfolk State, Florida, Troy, Kentucky, New Mexico, Marquette, Akron, Arizona, Oklahoma, smoke show, that's a song, up against UConn. Xavier, Illinois, Bryant, Michigan State, Liberty, and Oregon. That could become a new thing. If a team's just getting blown out, they're getting smoke showed right now. And someone's going to tune into a car and be like, what model are they having on the show coming up in 5 minutes? All right, we'll break. We'll come on back with some onside, offside. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Smoke Show Network.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, Onside, Offside time. Stu, what do we got cooking today?
All right, so while the NFL world awaits for Aaron Rodgers to make his decision, one potential opportunity may not be available for the four-time NFL MVP.
I just picked a hair off this microphone. That's ew. Disgusting. That was gross.
Whose could it be?
I don't know. Tough to tell.
Yeah.
Really tough.
It's not ideal.
It's not mine, I'll tell you that.
Well, according to Michael McCarthy...
Let me tell you, a bunch of animals that work here.
It's not the cleanest of places, no.
Jeez. I don't know, honestly, how much longer I could take some of the people around here that just the hygiene is terrible. You know, I'm not sitting here telling you, you know, I'm like a neat freak. But some people, you could just tell, have zero care for cleanliness around here. It's gross. Like, there's pizzas in the newsroom. The people that you could tell, like, pick a topping or cheese and then leave the slice in the box, like... There's 15 pizzas in the newsroom. Just take the whole damn slice. You got a lot of weird people around here, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's like the people that cut the donut in half. It's just like, take the donut. Ugh. There's like 40 donuts. Just take the donut.
And also, it's a group setting.
Yeah. You're
so
not at
you
home.
Don't want to eat a whole donut. Fine. Eat half of it. Throw the other half in the trash. Or go downstairs. There's like 10,000 homeless people in the city. Go get the donut to someone. Don't just take half the donut and leave it there. And it's always, it wouldn't shock me if someone takes a bite and then leaves it. Because it doesn't, I know people, it's tough to rip some of those things. But sometimes, like you can see like teeth marks in some of that stuff. Disgusting. I heard Boomer this morning, Boomer Esiason. So there was a big pizza issue here. So yesterday, they like to get pizza for the start of the NCAA tournament. It's like a Mike Francesa, longtime legendary radio host tradition. So Evan Roberts, who's now in Mike's old slot on the Fan in New York, he bought pizza. He bought like three small pies. Not enough. So then Ray Martell was like, Evan, I'll save the day. And Evan gave Ray his credit card. And I love Ray, but Ray shouldn't be in charge of ordering the pizzas. Ray got 99-cent slice pizzas. Like the 99-cent slice store. He got pies from there. We have La Industry Pizza, which is one of the best pizza joints in the city, less than a half a mile away here. You have John's on Bleecker Street, marquee pizza places. The afternoon drive host of The Fan gave you your credit card. Run up a bill. Run it up. I'm getting pizzas next week. Sweet 16, I'm getting LaIndustry. We'll have some phenomenal pizzas.
And not only did Ray get like the worst pizza place possible, he got like 10 pies, only cheese and pepperoni. No third option. Right? Like, if you're going to get that many pies, get, like, cheese, a pepperoni, a buffalo, something else. Don't just get two options.
Boomer today said he saw the pizza because, right, you get pizza here. That's how you know the pizza sucked.
It was still here?
It was still here this morning. Like, there has been times, oh, we got Shake Shack. Samter's come in. Oh, there's Shake Shack. I go into the newsroom and I go, these animals here.
People come in on their day off when there's free food.
It was all gone, the Shake Shack. Like, they get some great food catered in here. The pizza yesterday reflected day one of the NCAA tournament. A disaster. There was still pizza here this morning, and Boomer took a look at it. He goes, it was the most putrid, rancid pizza he's ever seen. It was cheap pizza. So, our buddy Sal Licata and Brandon Tierney, they got actual good pizza today. And I will also get some pies coming up on Thursday or Friday next week for the Sweet 16. Because that was a disgrace. An absolute disgrace what happened around here yesterday.
Pats fans, what can you do?
Well, I'm a Pats fan and I know how to get good pizza. And also, pipe down. We can't even keep track of what football team you're rooting for.
J-E-T-S. Who else would it be?
Oh, stop it. You're Fugazi. Alrighty. Anyway, let's continue with this segment. What's the question?
All right. So,
Are we still on question one?
Yeah, we are.
Oh.
So, according to Michael McCarthy of Front Office Sports, NFL media partners have little interest in pursuing Aaron Rodgers as a broadcaster, with one calling him, quote, a pompous know-it-all, end quote, and another one saying, quote, he would be a great analyst, but he's insufferable, end of quote. Onsides, offsides, you would like to see Rodgers as an NFL analyst.
Offside, and here's why. When I tune into an NFL game, I want football and only football, right? That's what I want from my analysts. Aaron Rodgers, I have no clue what planet that guy will be on when he starts talking football. And I have no clue what he's going to try to say. And Rodgers makes it all about himself, so I'm good. I don't need to, like, when Aaron Rodgers retires, I don't want to say he's going to be totally out of the spotlight, but I don't even think he would take on an analyst role. I don't. Because I think if he's doing something, it's with McAfee. And that, like, McAfee, Rodgers, say what you want, and some crazy things get said by Rodgers. You know, that's the forum, I think, for Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's going to be buttoned up, and I've heard him say this before, at a studio desk, basically talking about football. Billy Wolf, by the way, goes, yesterday, Gelb says how bad the pizza was, and Chip goes, I had 5 slices. Yeah. I thought that was a bad moment for Shep. I did. Now, Shep came on, interviewed for the overnight job. If they talked about pizza in that interview, that's not a good sign, all right? So, Shep talking about the slices he ate yesterday here, that was terrible-looking pizza. You know, that's how you know how bad the pizza was. I was hungry yesterday when I was here. I wouldn't even take a bite out of that pizza. That's how gross that pizza looked. Next question.
All right, so the NFL saw a resurgence in the ground game this past year, as well as the new running clock throughout the game. The 32 teams ran a total of 490 fewer plays in 2024 than in 2023. That comes out to be about 2 fewer plays per game. Onsides, offsides, fewer plays per game is actually good for the NFL.
I think so. I am all for... I know it's still 60 minutes, but I'm all for quicker games. And I think when you have more plays, the game feels obviously a lot longer. And football, the length of it is already as long, it's already as long to begin with as it is. So fewer plays per game is actually good for the NFL. I think so on sides.
All right. So the ACC, as we mentioned earlier in the show, had a brutal day one of the tournament as both of their teams who played, Louisville and Clemson, suffered big upsets. Well, now it appears that Coach K is pushing for the ACC and the Big East to merge, and Dan Hurley seems to like the idea.
I've been saying that. I mean, I've talked to Coach K about that. He's texted me that. We've talked about that. I've mentioned it to people at the Big East. I've talked to Dave about it. I mean, that would just make obviously tons of sense to come up with some way to get. And obviously, I think the basketball programs in the ACC could really use that. You know, Syracuse has been hurt by losing the Garden. You know, Pitt's been hurt by losing the Garden. It's harder for them. You know, BC, obviously, there's been major advantages from a football standpoint. But and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn for those folks. But I mean, how cool would it be to find a way to get, you know, Syracuse back in some type of ACC Big East consortium tournament?
So on said offsides, the ACC and the Big East should merge in basketball.
I'm actually going to go on sides on this one because, like, usually I would say offside on this, but you look how many teams are now in the SEC, how many teams are now in the Big Ten, and that's all because of football. And we have those conversations in football. Oh, maybe one day you'll see the Big 12 and the ACC merge and you'll have like three super conferences. Well, there's no Big East in football. There is Big East in basketball. And even though the Big East has won national championships recently with Villanova and with UConn, and the ACC could have the best team in the tournament this year in Duke, it's not as if the ACC and the Big East have popped a lot nationally this year outside of St. John's and outside of Duke. So I think they could use each other. And if people say, oh, it's too many teams, well, that's just the new nature of college athletics. When you put so many teams in the same conference, it would give both those conferences a little bit more extra pop. And it would be a little bit more extra well-rounded if you did have the ACC and Big East merge in basketball. So I would be for that, and therefore I will say on sides.
The Caitlin Clark effect is still riding strong momentum as the WNBA released its TV schedule for the upcoming season. Now Clark's Indiana Fever will play 41 of their 44 games on national TV, the most for any single team in WNBA history. As we know, attendance for games with Clark were nearly double those without her, and the TV viewership jumped for 400,000 without Clark to over 1.1 million with her. Onsides, offsides, while the WNBA needs to feature Caitlin Clark, we're going to get Caitlin Clark fatigue with too much coverage.
I'm not. And I know some people won't say this, but really the only time I watch the WNBA is if it's a hyped up, right, playoff product, and you get into like the championship, and that could be without Caitlin Clark. But really, the only time I'm really watching is when Caitlin Clark is playing. You know, I know this is NCAA tournament too. I like Juju Watkins too, but Caitlin Clark, she gets people to tune in. Caitlin Clark, whether you like it or not, is the face of the league. So I don't think there is a such thing as too much Caitlin Clark for the WNBA. It's not like when Mahomes gets 7 primetime games a year or whatever, we go, oh, it's too much Patrick Mahomes for the NFL. Or, you know, that LeBron James fella, even though he's been around for 4,000, I put him in too many primetime games. We don't need to see him on Christmas Day anymore. No, you want to see your stars. And you showcase your stars out the wazoo. And the WNBA has done an incredible job in growing, but they need to fully embrace their biggest star. And there is a phenom in Caitlin Clark, and I don't think putting her on TV in primetime slots as much as possible is a bad thing. So I don't think there's going to be Caitlin Clark fatigue. While the WNBA needs to feature Clark, we're going to get Clark fatigue with too much coverage. I will go offside.
Offside!
All right, last one here. Bronny James finally had his big NBA breakout moment, scoring a career-high 17 points on 7 of 10 shooting in 30 minutes during last night's loss to the Bucks. Now, Bronny, who's averaging over 20 points per game in the G League, added 3 rebounds and 5 assists while hitting 2 of 4 from beyond the arc.
I've gained my confidence and gained my comfortability over just reps and, you know, getting out there and taking advantage of my opportunity if it's given. So just, you know, being ready at all times, I think that's the biggest thing for me, staying in the stay ready games and practice and stuff like that and taking advantage like I did tonight.
On to offsides, Bronny James will be a full-time starter in the NBA in the next 3 years.
Let me preface what I'm about to say is I'm actually finally happy that we're talking about Bronny James as something being positive and something not being about LeBron or Stephen A. or does he deserve to be playing in the league and all that stuff. I'm happy that we're actually talking about something he did on the basketball court last night. Now, with that being said, the game was a blowout, and the Lakers only put up 89 points, and the Bucks won 118-89. But it's kind of tough to evaluate when the game is so lopsided, right, Stu? You know, I know that Bronny was 7-10 from the field, and he was 2-4 from three and had 17 points. It's really tough to evaluate a player when the game is that lopsided still. So I think that Bronny James has a lot of growth still to do. I don't think he's a starter in this league, but is there a role for him in the league? Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and totally say that he can't play in the league, but I don't think right now I have enough tangibly that can make me say within 3 years he's going to be a full-time starter in the NBA. So I'm happy with what we saw last night, but it's one game and it was in a blowout, so I would go offside.
Offside.
What were your Bronny James impressions last night, Mr. Laker?
Well, I mean, just from the highlights, it did seem like he kind of, you know, got his footing a little, which was cool, because a lot of the times he played in previous games, he was just kind of out there, but
he didn't look out of place.
Exactly. The first couple games looked out of place, but this looked like more like a normal NBA player.
I used the analogy, the first game that we saw him play, first off, he looked so small.
He did, yeah.
Compared to everybody else, but he looked like a kid at the adult table during holiday season. Last night, he looked like he at least belonged on the court. So it's a nice little baby step, but there's still a long ways to go. Now, Ak has high standards around here. Ak is the veteran. He has been here around here for a long time. Are you the longest tenured person? No, you're not the longest tenured person at the radio station.
Yes, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, but you're like a veteran. Everyone knows the Akster around here. So you've seen many different eras of our network and down the hall as well. And you've seen a lot of good food come through here. But the pizza yesterday I thought was embarrassing.
I give it a B-.
That's you being nice.
Edible, not the best I've ever had. Good enough. You know, pizza, unless it's...
It looked like cardboard.
A lot of these places, though, by the time they get here... And they have such a big order. Unless it's like an experienced place, like a Joe's, you know, it's not going to be that way.
So, I'm surprised. Because you do come off to me as a pizza snob that you only give that a B- yesterday.
Well, I don't want to give this, because I can like just about any type of pizza, even like, you know, Celentano's out of the frozen food aisle in the supermarket. So, you know... Pizza is always good. It's just the degree of how good it is. Yeah. You know, was yesterday's on there with Joe's or Spumoni Gardens or...
Industry? No.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Prince Street.
Lucia's, you know, Luigi's of Brooklyn? No. But was it good enough to eat? Yeah. Was it good enough to where...
You know what that was yesterday? That was Peter Schwartz and Chef Pizza. All right.
Yeah.
Chef said he liked the pizza. Yeah. Peter Schwartz would take home pies.
You know, it's getting you through it.
It was free pizza.
Well,
you know, low standard free pizza.
Well, this goes way back to when you were very, very young.
But I remember back in the day in Astoria.
Yes. Well, we had a little incident there once. I wouldn't say like people came to blows, but it was a little testy. There was a personality who decided I'd like to do something nice this year for everybody, because Mike and Chris used to buy pizza.
Okay.
You know, from the local place, where I'd say that was that was probably like a C+ pizza. You know, but you have your area of places that's limited. But in any event, so this person took it upon himself, and I don't know if they called.
Do I know this person?
Yes, you do.
They still work here?
No.
Okay.
This person, I don't know if they called him or he just knew of them and talked to them, whatever, but they offered to bring pizza. And now their pizza is terrific. It's one of the well-known places. However, I'll just put it this way, it's very far from Astoria.
Oh.
And it's not your traditional, you know, big pie.
Yeah.
You know, and so between those two things, so number one, the pie gets there and it's cold.
Ooh,
or the pies.
Not good.
And, you know, the slices are smaller and, you know, just a dip, because it's like I don't know if it's wood fired or brick oven.
Okay.
You know, but it's in that realm. And so there was an uproar.
Really?
There was an uproar in the newsroom. And, you know, everyone's like, what is this? It's terrible. It's cold. I think your father and I had it, though, and we both enjoyed it.
You know what? If I'm going to say Shep Pizza and Schwartz Pizza, also, yesterday could have been a little Papagallo pizza, too.
Yeah, so...
I've never seen him pass up a piece of pie.
Exactly. So what happened was, ultimately, we wound up ordering more pizza.
Okay.
Yes. But it wasn't there for the start, for opening tip at 12:07 Eastern time.
Here's what I'm going to say. If you're going to be doing the ordering here, you better get it right.
Yeah, it was bad.
Because if there is one little flaw, you will get made fun of and berated, and deservedly so. Yeah. We have a lot of tough critics around here. Hand up, I'm one of them. I thought yesterday, though, sent back the network and down the hall about 5 years with the pizza order.
Yeah, I don't know who
it's
dropped.
Not bad.
I don't know where you go on that, but somebody dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Right.
No, I think it's on Evan. I think it's on Evan. If you are gonna be the one that starts it, you better order correctly. And you also then can't just give the credit card to Ray Martell and expect it to be 5-star pizza. I've gone on road trips with Ray Martell.
Yeah.
You know, Ray Martell is not Mr. Fine Dining.
I would have been fine with 3-star pizza. He gave us 0.5-star.
All right.
You gotta call Joe's. They're pros. They deliver like multiple pies all the time. I mean, they've come here with like 10 pies.
There's 4 spots around here. Mm-hmm. You could go Joe's if you want. John's on Bleecker Street.
Yeah, see, that's not industry or Prince Street. I don't think that I'm not saying
you don't like John's on Bleecker Street.
I do, but I don't know if that quote unquote travels as well.
I brought in pizza from there before. Okay. It's done well. Okay. It's also the person that is doing the order and has to take a little initiative.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, La Industrie has become a very big popular spot. So I don't, and with lines out the, you know, out the door.
Well, you could online order. I've done it.
But I don't know if they're gonna. I don't know if they're gonna do 12 pies for you or whatever.
Oh, they would.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. My friend who lives 2 blocks from here, when Michigan played Alabama in the semifinal. He ordered, it had a lot of people over. They ordered like 15, 20 pies.
All right.
Delicious.
Okay.
That was the first time I was introduced to it.
Okay.
So anyway, let's take a break. We will put the pizza back in the oven. We'll come on back. We'll see how it ends up tasting. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. Hey, by the way, Daly, who's a loyal YouTube chatter of ours, it is his birthday, I think, tomorrow. So a happy birthday to Daly. But he had a comment recently that almost, I wonder if Daly now has a tracker on me and if he could see me at all times. So the last 2 weeks, I've had wings twice. I had wings at this place called Mudville 9, which is like 15 minutes from here. Very good wings. Good sports bar. And then I went to Bar Coastal. Well, it's now called Plug Uglies, but I still call it Bar Coastal yesterday, which had these Kerryway's wings, and they're delicious. And tomorrow, I'm actually making a trip to the Poconos and going to one of my favorite spots, which is a great sports bar, doing a day trip with a few of the fellas to BVH, Barryville Hotel, which is one of the best wing joints I've ever had. Like, they could be put in Buffalo and do very well in Buffalo. But Daly just wrote in the YouTube chat, and this is why I'm wondering if Daly now has a tracker on me. And Daly says, I do have a tracker on you, Zach, and everyone. So now this is getting creepy. But Daly said, have you ever had coffee and wings? It's crazy how good it is. No one markets them together. Toss in some good pizzas as an option. It's gold, Jerry, gold. Now, I have to admit something. And right, we're men. We don't lie to one another. The other week when I went to Mudville 9, I had a late night. And I had to rush to get to the restaurant for 12 p.m. to meet up with my buddies. So I get into the restaurant to watch whatever game we were watching. And I ordered wings, right? Because that's what this place is really good. They have good wings and burgers. And since I just woke up like 30 minutes before or an hour before, I said, oh, let me get an iced coffee. Iced coffee and wings. Not a good combination. If you ever want something to go through your body in a snap of a finger and your body basically become Niagara Falls is what I will just say. You like the way that I just worded that, Sam. Have iced coffee, and it opens everything up, and then eat wings, and it really opens everything up. And by the way, it's Daly's birthday now. So happy birthday to Daly. Two-Tone Tony says Anchor Bar in Buffalo. Folks, overrated. Anchor Bar's fine. Overrated. Go to, oh my goodness gracious. I'm blanking on the name of it. It's one of my favorite places in Buffalo. Oh, why can't I think of the name right now? Because I'm stuck on Duff's that is really damn good there. Oh, Barbill Tavern. Barbill Tavern. Those are top three wings that I've ever had. And make sure that you dunk those wings in blue cheese, folks. Daly, I'm telling you, wings and coffee, feel free to steal my idea. Oh, let me tell you. I'm still nauseous from the wings and iced coffee combination. Takes two to tango. Those two things don't tango. Anyway, Adam Schefter has details about Aaron Rodgers meeting with the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers spent about 6 hours at the Steelers training facility today, meeting with their coaches. It was said to be a positive visit, and the two sides will stay in touch. Here's the bottom line. Mike Tomlin wants Aaron Rodgers. I really do believe that. Aaron Rodgers, it's not his preference. One, he wants to go to Minnesota, but Minnesota doesn't want him right now. So how much longer are you to make this thing be a thing? The decisions right now that are realistic are retirement, the Steelers, or the Giants. I'm fine if he retires. But the Steelers also have to have a backbone here as well. And this is a step. Rodgers will elongate this process because this is what he does. And people will say, oh, it's a tough decision for him to make. Come on, folks. What are we doing here? The only way Aaron Rodgers wins and the waiting ends up working out is if Minnesota somehow caves, which I don't think they're going to do. So let's just have this thing happen already. If it's going to happen, just have it happen. And I still do believe that he's going to the Steelers. It's like 93% at this point that he's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do some potential future NFL stars next. We got some questions on that. And we'll also take a look ahead at Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. Ole Miss smoke showing, as Samter would say. North Carolina right now, 42-25. I think he meant smoking them.